don't like that, do we? This guy over here hates that. Hates that kind of talk. But the further you move over this way, the more you begin, you'll even begin to speak it. You'll know that it's true. You know, that this is a unity, this earth is. Fasting is learning how to see what temptation does to your mind. As you learn this process here, you will learn that temptation narrows the mind. Any of you ever get to thinking about something so much that pretty soon you couldn't think of anything else? That's what temptation does. And it really works over here. When you become aware of what's going on, really aware, understanding, I said that all week, when you really understand what's going on, there is something you can do about it. But it's being unaware of it. How many of you ever woke up one morning and the wife or husband say something to you like this, "Honey, I think we need a new car." And you hadn't thought about a car. But you find yourself before the day's over, you're riding down the road and you're looking at the cars. You know, it's been mentioned to you. Here your mind was like this and cars were someplace. But all of a sudden it starts going like this. The next morning you get up and the first thing you do, you go to the newspaper and you open it back to the classified section and you see all the cars. Pretty soon you find yourself stopping in a car dealership. Pretty soon you find yourself stopping in one another, and you finally get to the place where that's all you can think about is cars. You're sitting at your desk at work, and what are you thinking about? Boy, that sure was a pretty car, and I think I could afford that one. If they'd give me $5,000 for my car, I believe I could afford to buy that. And you're sitting here trying to work, and this is what temptation does to us, especially when we're totally unconscious. You don't even know it's happening, do you? Habits. See, temptation works in that. And when you begin to break out of that, your mind opens up and you can begin to see the temptation when it's here. It comes. I know exactly what's going on. Don't do this. Don't deny your desires. Your desires are good, okay? Don't deny them. Don't deny that you get hungry. See, people will get into crazy things. Thank God that you get hungry. You know, and if you really understand, you don't have to eat too much. Thank God you have sexual desires. That's why you're here. Sexual desires. But folks are not supposed to be perverted. Do you know that Paul talks about a sex fast? Anybody in here read Scripture enough that they know that Paul says that a husband and a wife should give each other up on agreement? That's what he's talking about. Sex is something that is very viable and meaningful, but it's not supposed to run your life. I had a lady not too long ago tell me, she says, "You know, I've got to the place where I hate it when my husband walks in the house and gives me a kiss, because the only time he walks in the house and hugs and kisses me is we're headed to the bedroom." You understand? You hug and kiss your wife when you're not headed to the bedroom. Well, you can. See, an awake person does. See, it's a crazy sickness. And you girls are the same way. I know my wife starts buttering me up. I say, "Well." You know, I don't want you all to think that I just think guys are like this. I used to. God knows what I'd done. I used to think that girls just didn't have those desires being had. And I'm standing watching a couple ladies one day, and one of them's talking about this guy walked by and says, "You look at that tush." Yeah. "Girls, look at those things." You know what a tush is? Philemon, she was perfectly open to talk about that when you weren't here at the last class. And she's sitting over there, and I go, "Shh." It'd be fun, yeah. I couldn't teach this class without you here. But you know, that's the way we are. I'll tell you what I'd like to do. I'm going to show you where I got this. Y'all believe I got it out of the Bible?
Yeah.
That's where I got it. You know, it astounds me. Don't ever be afraid of anything that as you experience it, it's real to you. Okay? Because God is reality. See, so don't be afraid of that. And boy, we'll get so religious that we'll deny reality. I mean, we'll just totally deny reality. And that, you're really doing something wrong when you do that. Now, it doesn't, when you find something that's real in your life, it doesn't mean that's all of reality. See, I don't want anybody to think that I'm exhausting what you can say about these things. I'm trying to help people to get a hold of something that when you walk out of this class, you can go home and you can live something. This is something you can do. If I give you some pie-in-the-sky stuff and you go home and you say hallelujah to it, hallelujah to it, hallelujah to it, that's nothing. I had somebody walk up out in this building since I've been here and say to a person, I got to ask you to forgive me for every time you're mean and hurtful to me. It makes me so mad, and I got to ask you to forgive me for that. Now, folks, was that person asking for forgiveness? No, they were getting even. But it was a beautiful. But they used the word forgiveness, didn't they? I've got to ask you to forgive me for every time you're mean. See, what they wanted to do is tell them how mean they were. And we do that. We're blind. We're so blind. It just blows my mind how blind we are. We don't know what we're doing. I've got to ask you to forgive me. You're a jackass, and it hurts me. And I'm not supposed to get hurt when you act like a jackass. Well, yeah, you are. But that's not any forgiveness. Just treat the person good. You know, you understand what I'm talking about. It's craziness, and we all get caught in it, don't we? You know, you'll beat the hell out of one of the kids and get to feeling guilty, and then you go and say, oh, would you please forgive me? Bull stuff. And you beat me up. You know, why are you asking forgiveness? Because you feel horrible. That's not forgiveness. It's words. Words. That's like telling me you're willing to do this, but I'm not going to. It's words. You know? One of the best examples of that I know is the TV preachers that say, send me $20, send me a $20 gift offering, and I'll send you a book. Folks, he's selling books for $20 a copy. That's $20 a copy for a book. But we think if we turn the words around, and I'm going to tell you, we're gullible and swallow it. Ooh. Yeah. He don't sell nothing. He gave me a free book. Well, why do you have a check in there entered, $20 for such and such ministry? Well, I gave him an offering. Did he send you the book before he got the offering? Oh, no. You understand? It's words, folks, words. Words. Watch what you do. And I'm not telling this for you to go get others. I'm telling you, look at yourself. Be not careful, you're living a total lie, an illusion. You start living, the more you walk towards this area, the freer you're getting. I'm going to tell you, there's something in you know you're living a lie. Something in you knows it. You know, God's there, isn't he? He knows it. Okay, let me read this scripture to you. This is one of the most blessed scriptures. And I think it has so much to do with what I've done all week. I'm in Isaiah 58, and I'm going to start down the middle of verse 3. And I'd like you just to listen to me. Just sit and listen to me read it. But it's Isaiah 58. Lo, on your fast day, you carry out your own pursuits and drive all your labors. Yes, your fast ends in quarreling and fighting, striking with a wicked claw. Any of you moms or dads ever fasted in here and went without food so much that you was just really irritable? And you, everybody, he's mad. That's kind of what's going on here, you know. Would that today you might fast so as to make your voice heard on high. Is this the manner of fast I am wishing? A keeping of a day of penance? That's what most of us have thought. That a man bow his head like a reed and lie in sackcloth and ashes? Do you call this a fast? A day acceptable to the Lord? This, rather, is the fasting that I wish. Releasing those bound unjustly. Untying the thongs of the yoke. Setting free the oppressed. Breaking every yoke. Sharing your bread with the hungry. Who ever heard of such as a fast? Sheltering the oppressed and the homeless. Clothing the naked when you see them, and not turning your back on your own. See? That's just what he said. Going towards this quickly. That's a fast. He didn't say anything over here about giving up your food, giving up your cigarettes, giving up your sex life. But I'll tell you what, folks, if you start working towards that, the clothes in your closet will become less. Because if you give a coat to somebody, you'll have one less. You give your food to somebody, you'll have less food in your pantry. You understand? You start treating these people with respect, you'll start respecting your body. You'll quit doing things to destroy your body and others. And then listen to the next words. Then your light shall break forth like the dawn. Where's the light, folks, that'll break forth? In our hearts. You see, if you will do this, see, good selfishness, the light begins to break forth. You'll begin to see. And your wound shall quickly be healed. Where's the wound? In our hearts. We're wounded people. This is what heals us. Your vindication shall go before you. See, you don't have to vindicate yourself. I'm telling you, God says that if you will do this, He'll vindicate you. Folks, I believe that with all of my heart. I have experienced that. You stop vindicating yourself. You live loving, and I'm telling you, God will vindicate you. All the other crud will disappear. I'm going to tell you, that's what the message, that's what the good news is the victory is over. It's been won. Good wins. You don't have to get out there and fight with anybody. Your vindication shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. You know, people can't even slip up behind you and get you. And I don't mean that literally. I hope you understand what I mean. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. It's becoming this kind of person that prays the kind of prayers that God answers. Uh-oh. Then you will call and He'll hear you. Folks, He can't hear this guy over here. Give me this, give me that. Change my wife, change my husband, change my kids. Change the priest, change the pastor. Change the president. Oh, God, change my situation at work. And God's saying, why don't you learn to love those folks at work? When you do, you start walking this way, don't you? And then He hears you. Think about how we pray, folks. It is sick how we pray. God protect our army. Kill theirs. God, don't let my house burn down. Let it get my neighbors. See, we're not. Who are you interested in? See, in this whole idea right here, you begin to wake up to others. And folks, it can become a habit. Come in. Is the bell rung? Your vindication shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and He'll say, "Here I am." If you remove from your midst, where's the midst He's talking about? Oppression, false accusation, and malicious speech. Oh my. Oh my. If you bestow your bread on the hungry and satisfy the afflicted, then light shall rise for you in the darkness. Where's the darkness? In our heart. And the gloom shall become to you like midday. Can you imagine that? The greatest darkness in your heart will be like when the sun's at midday. Isn't that wonderful? Glory. God just bright all the time. Somebody slaps you and it's still bright. Hey, glory to God. God counted me worthy to get slapped. I don't have to slap her back. I forget how to live this while I'm here, folks. Y'all are so good to me. I go back home and I get treated like a dog. And I don't mean in my house, folks. I mean where I go to work. I mean I get robbed every day. People come in and eat our food and tell us it's no good. How would you like that? Somebody comes to your house and you feed them. You do the best you can do. And they sit down and they say, "Is this all you got?"
Sometimes my husband says that.
Sometimes your husband says that. I hope you grin at him just like that and say, "Honey, what else do you want?"
You're a better cook than I am.
Oh, you. What do you mean by that? For him to get up and cook it?
No, I mean I'm not going to compete with him.
Oh, you're not?
No.
Okay. I hope you say it just like that. Honey, you know you're a better cook than me.
I do, because it's true.
Then the Lord will guide you always and give you plenty even on the parched land. He will renew your strength and you shall be like a watered garden. Like a spring whose water never fails, the ancient ruin shall be rebuilt for your sake. And the foundation from ages past shall raise up. Repair of the breach they shall call you. Restore of ruined homesteads. Isn't that awesome? This right here, if you can understand what I'm saying here, and it's something you can go home and do, I'm telling you, it'll change your whole life. Especially, it'll change the way you pray. It really will. And I wish I could change the way people pray. You know, Scripture says anything you ask for in the name of Jesus, you'll get it. Any of you ever ask anything and put the name of Jesus on the end of it and not get it? Huh? Come on now, folks. Everybody in here, haven't you? You ask for something in the name of Jesus. Well, I want to get you to thinking a little different. Anything you ask for in His personality, you'll get it. If you are being like Him, anything you ask for, you'll get. See, here's we are living with words again. I'm going to put the name of Jesus on it and I'll get it. That isn't what it is. To do something in His name is to do it in His knowing. The root of the word name is know. Matter of fact, you know all these Old Testament guys, when their life changed, what changed? Their name. Their name was changed. Their personality changed. Their name changed. Okay? So if your personality changed from this to this, you'll pray differently. Matter of fact, you'll quit praying, "Gimme, gimme, 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 gimme." You'll quit praying, "God change my wife, God change my husband, God change my kids," and you'll start praying, "Oh God, help me to do Your will. Help me to do Your will." Do you know what I believe? If you can leave here praying like that, you will do it. Your prayer will be answered. But remember, folks, when you do, you'll step into an area that's awful painful. He learned obedience through what he suffered. See? He learned, I'm going to tell you, this life was Jesus' habit. I'm going to tell you that when Jesus went to the garden and he cried about this pain, it wasn't a choice anymore. He had already made the choices so much that it wasn't a choice. He didn't want the pain. But he had to do the Father's will. You understand? For instance, if I slap Tony and Tony slaps me back, would she die for Jesus?
No.
No. She'd have to learn to take the slap first, wouldn't she? That's what this is. This is a life that's learning that. Learning to be obedient to God. And folks, it looks horrible, doesn't it, when you think of, when you sit and conjure up what you'll be doing at home. Oh, no, it won't. The end result over here is joy, peace. Do I look unhappy? I've done this a little bit. Do I look unhappy? Joy, peace. Folks, it's wonderful. Over here is the unhappy, isn't it? That's what goes on that side right there. It's unhappy. Anxiety. Anxiousness. Sure do love you.